about prayer tonight so that we can embrace it instead of looking at it in the context of how insufficient we are. Would that be okay with you? You know, for once, you know, there's not a whole lot of condemnation coming from the pulpit, but a whole lot of compassion. I read years ago a small book that Dick Eastman wrote, and in it he had this quote. He said, "Today, God did something because someone was praying. Consequently, God did not do something because someone was not praying." Now, if you're not careful, you'll hear those words, and it sounds like that we have the power to keep something from happening because we didn't pray. And the reason that it feels that way, because that is the truth. Dick Eastman went on to say, and he was very, very kind with his words, he says, "God depends upon the prayers of his people to direct him as to how he wants to display his will." Now, let me explain that this way. You know what? You can decide what you want to do with your life all day long. God knows how to get you to where he wants you to go. And if you want to be rebellious and you want to just get off the beaten path and you want to go out there and sow your wild oats or be rebellious, whatever you want to call it, God knows how to bring you right back to where he wants you to. He could have done it when you were 12 years old, but if you want to be a knucklehead and spend about 20 of your life years just being crazy and everything, at 32, he can bring you back to the cross. That's where he knows how to get you there. He'll use circumstance and things like that. So it's not that we weave the future through our prayers, because God knows what he's doing. We're not going to supervent his authority and his power. But I do know this much, that God knows how to utilize our prayers to accomplish his will in our life. And that's what Dick Eastman was constantly wanting to let us know. There's value in who we are as prayerful people. We're not just another person added onto the church that should go through the motions of a prayers. But that he values your prayers. He wants to answer your prayers. And he wants to answer the prayers of other people through you in the prayers you pray. It's a powerful place when you begin to think about it. We're going into some big election and the kids are going, "We're sick of it already. We can't even vote." I mean, they've heard all the rhetoric. And every year, there's somewhere in there, somebody brings up this little comment, "I didn't vote because I didn't think my vote counted. Or I got disinterested in the whole process." Does that not describe prayer sometimes? Should I really pray for all the missionaries? I mean, does my prayer really count? I mean, God's going to take care of them anyway. With all of these human justifications for insufficiency in our life when it comes to prayer. I hope that tonight what we'll do is we'll just rediscover the privilege, the power, the excitement, the enthusiasm, and the desire to be a part of prayer instead of finding out all of the areas that we're insufficient in prayer and going home feeling bad about ourselves. Is that okay with you guys? Because I really would like to go there really quick. And it's not to lower the standard so that we can all go underneath this lower bar and all be accepted. No, it's because it's where God wants us to go. Listen, prayer changes things. Remember that? God's still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Let me just tell you right quick, we said it before, but you know the number one thing it changes? You and me. You and me. You can pray for the lost, you can pray for the missionaries, you can pray for whatever, but in the midst of all of that, while God is using you as a conduit of prayer to take care of other people, he's going to bless you. I mean, it just seems like a silly illustration, because you know a water hose has no really need of water. It doesn't survive on water. You know what I'm saying? So we just think of it as it's just water just flows through it. But as human beings, we depend on the Holy Spirit. We depend on this vibrant life of Jesus Christ. So as Jesus Christ uses us as a conduit of prayer, it saturates us. It becomes a part of us. And we may be praying for other people or other things, but we are a part of the blessing. You know why the Ark of the Covenant was so guarded? Well, they wouldn't let human people touch it, because although it was just this inanimate object as far as material, wood, gold, paper, things like that, inside it, what did it contain? The very presence of God. And that's why when human hands touched it, they died, because there was this incredible power within it. Do you realize within us, all of us have that same power? Paul was bold enough to say, "I want to identify with Jesus in his sufferings and the power of his resurrection." You know what he was saying? "I don't want to just be a good Christian boy. I don't want to just preach the right things. I don't want to just do the right things. I want to identify with the power that I have access to through my relationship with Jesus Christ." And that's why powerful things are said about Paul. That's why powerful things were happening. And isn't it cool that the Bible tells us, by Jesus' own words, "These things and greater things will you do." Why is that going to happen? It's certainly not because we're greater than Jesus. It's because Jesus wants to embody us. And one of the things he wants to do is take us down this path of prayer, if you will. Let me share some scriptures with you real quick just to kind of keep things going, because we understand that prayer isn't, you know, instinct. It is a learned behavior. But like all disciplines in our life, if we fail to use it, we will lose it. If we fail to pray, we will no longer learn how to pray. And we'll have to get back into that. It's a learned behavior. So if there's times when you get out of that, have you ever injured, you've had your leg in a cast, arm in a cast for a certain amount of time. Once it comes out of the cast, it's still an arm, but you have to train those muscles to work again. You have to train yourself how to grab things and walk and put pressure back on that thing. That's because you haven't used it in a long time, and prayer is that way as well. Isaiah, the 56th chapter, verse 7. Them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house should be called a house of prayer for all nations. Remember last week we were talking about Jesus came into Jerusalem. What did he do? You know, we didn't go there in Scripture last week, but right after he came in, a triumphal entry, he went into the temple. And what did he do? Cleared it. These people were making money. They turned it into a shrine. They turned it into a circus. He cleared them all out, and he said, my house will be called a house of prayer. Romans 8:26, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We are a Pentecostal church. This is an Assembly of God church. That can be a title, it can be a denominational association, but it should be representing the heart of the Pentecostal people. And if you have not allowed your spiritual language, the baptism of the Holy Spirit to raid in you and to allow you to pray in the Spirit, I encourage you to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit so God can use you in that avenue of prayer. And if it's been a long time since you feel that, and the only word I know to use is flowing in your life, then you need to reinvest and understand that God wants to use you, your prayer language, to accomplish some great things. We're not going to go on a big teaching on that right now, but I just encourage you to reinvest it. 1 Chronicles 16:11-12. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Seek the Lord. It's one of those things we do in prayer. It's not just doing the checklist. It's not just representing the needs, our prayer list that we have at the church. But it's pushing beyond that, finding something that God has for us. And most of the time, we'll find it through prayer. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. All of that is exercise of prayer. Matthew 26:4-1, we talked about this morning. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is weak, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Pray. Luke 18:1. He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. This is not just a commandment, not just a suggestion, but it's a lifestyle that God wants us to have, that we should always be people of prayer. You know, I don't want to push my comfort level on you, because trying to suggest that you be like somebody else is never, never a good thing. And mimicking somebody else is not a good thing. Now, somebody else being a little inspiration or encouragement, that's fine. But I would encourage you to just find every opportunity you can, and as much as you feel comfortable, turn it into a moment of prayer. How many times have you been talking to somebody, you've been talking about a circumstance or whatever, and you left that and you go, you know, we should have prayed about that. We should have just taken a moment to pray. You know, one of the coolest things that can happen is you do just that. If there's a moment there, just pray. I love it when I get to be in the hospital and the nurses come in, because there's always something going on. And we just ask them, hey, would you guys like to join us in prayer? I've not had a single time when I've been with somebody before surgery that the attendants are in there. They're doing the IVs. They're getting all the medical history. They're fixing to leave, and we're going to pray. And I always ask for permission to pray because it's my opportunity to introduce it. And I say, well, listen, if you got a second, how about you pray? You stay and pray with us. And we pray. And at the end of that prayer, I always tag them in. Lord, here's these nurses, here's these people, and I pray that you'll just bless them. It's a great way to just introduce that. God loves it when that happens. Where was I? How about John 16:24? Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. This is pretty simple, guys. We don't ask, we don't get. You know, we don't ask, we don't get. Now, there's a difference between asking and demanding. But God loves it when we ask. God loves it when we ask. Because if we are, it's on our heart, and He gets to direct it from there. Ephesians 6, 18 says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. There's a lot of cool words in here. One of those is supplication. And if you begin to really look at that word, it goes far beyond just, okay, let's pray. There's a need. We've identified it. Let's hold hands and we'll mention it and go about our way. Supplication has to do with just the innate part of you that just turns over and it begins to grow as a burden in your heart and it won't leave you until it's been satisfied. Praying always with prayer and supplication. Where? In the Spirit. 1 Kings 9, the third chapter. Chapter 9, verse 3, going back to the Old Testament. The Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication. There's that word again. That you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there for forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. God has a promise associated with the life of prayer that we have that He will always be a part of that. He's always looking for a reason to bless us. He's always looking for a reason to use us. He's always looking for a reason to include us in His will and His plan. You know, sometimes we forget, we see ourselves as Jesus, inanimate objects, these people that are serving God. And when you start multiplying it by the millions, the hundreds of thousands of people that serve the Lord, you're going, you know, my little thing here, you know, it's probably not that big a deal, but it's a big deal to God. It's a huge deal to God. You know, He just wants to use you in a way to just put you into this process of prayer so that not only are your prayers answered and the people are blessed, but it's also that you're blessed as the prayer and not just the person receiving that prayer. Amen? It's a powerful thing. So let me just end with a couple of things I want to mention. And then you know what? I want us to take an opportunity of prayer. And listen, any time a pastor says that, he's going, hey, okay. Midnight? We can stay here till midnight. I mean, isn't that the first thing you think of? How long are you talking about, Pastor? You know what that is? That's our flesh trying to put prayer in a box to where we can handle it. We can understand it. You know, I need to, okay, how much do I need to gear up for here? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, what is this? You know, that's the bottom line is to the battle with prayer. If we didn't have all of these things that we have to deal with, crawl over, if you will, these obstacles that we have to face to get to prayer, we would be praying all the time. We really would, but our flesh gets right in the middle of that, and you got to put that aside. A few thoughts about prayer real quick, okay? Number one, prayer must become a priority and not just another choice. It has to become a priority. Listen, I don't know what's on your desk, but prayer, if it's gotten piled up by, you know, a magazine and a TV show and business and work and all of these things that you have going, you got to somehow pull it out from underneath the bottom of the stack and put it back on top. And this world and this life is going to keep stacking stuff on top of prayer. You're never going to have fine time to prayer. You don't have time to prayer. You don't feel like praying. You don't know what to pray. All of these things. You make time for prayer and you just kind of look, well, what am I going to say? You know, all of these things. Listen, you got to somehow just pull it out from under the stack and put it back on top as a priority. Because if it's a choice, it'd be tough for you to choose. Because somebody's going to call. You know, I love our phones. You know, it's amazing the convenience and everything. I mean, we can go anywhere, anytime, and always have something new. I am so amused by this. And don't get me wrong, I have to fight the temptation too. But anytime I see somebody idle and they're just sitting around, they got their phone. They just got their phone out there. Let me tell you, I'm not telling you you're mean or evil when you do that. I'm not telling you you're not even spiritual. I'm just telling you our world is absolutely occupied with a lot of stuff. That's why prayer has to be a priority and not just another choice. Do I look at my phone? Do I pray right now? Do I just daydream? Do I watch the traffic? What? No. Where's your priority? Your priority should be met. Once you meet your priorities, everything else falls into line. That's what a priority is. Anybody know what it's like when you get your priorities out of balance? When your priorities messed up? When you take the last thing and make it first, and the first thing make it last? You know what happens? Well, never mind, I don't have to go there, do we? Let me go to this next slide right here. We have to lead in prayer. First of all, we have to lead ourselves to prayer, but then we also have to lead others to prayer. I dare you to try this sometime. Try sounds so really ridiculous. I just dare you to do it. Just go to someone and say, hey, I was just thinking about this, that, and the other. Would you mind praying with me about that? And see how many times I go, no, I don't think so. I've never had anybody refuse to pray with me. There, but you know what? I've had a lot of people say, I'm glad you said that because that's on my heart as well. And if we will lead them in prayer. Remember we were talking today about Jesus, the disciples, they were in the garden. One of their biggest problems is they saw themselves as a group instead of individuals. They were just following what the group did. Jesus was the leader. So if Jesus said, let's go to the garden, we'd go to the garden. I wonder if the disciples ever showed up at the Garden of Gethsemane. I wonder if they ever went off on prayer by themselves without Jesus suggesting it. I don't know. But I bet more often than not, they didn't. Because they were waiting for their leader to say, let's go. Listen, teenagers, I know I lean on you guys a lot, but I'm going to tell you, you're right here in a very, very important time of your life. I know that not every one of you wants to lead the pack. Not everybody wants to be, everybody have their bullseye on you. Your attention is only on you. But listen, you don't have to be the biggest or the boldest or the loudest, the strongest, the fastest, the best grades or whatever. But people are looking for someone to follow. And if you will lead them, they will follow you. The same with adults. It's the same with us. We just have adult faces on these things that you face. We still face it too. At our offices, not my office, I mean, you know, we're paid to pray. You know, but you know, out there in the world, you know, I mean, you know, nobody, they're just waiting. And there's people that pop out of nowhere that will follow you if you do that. They just need someone to lead. Let's do this in two ways, like it's up on the screen. First of all, it's strategic. Listen, you will not pray if you don't have a plan to pray. Now, your plan is like any other plan. It will get interrupted. It will get sidetracked. It may not work out exactly as you want. You know, every morning we have a plan, officially or unofficially, and it gets interrupted, you know? But you know what? If you have a strategic plan, then most of the time you're going to follow that. Somewhere in there it's going to happen. But if you don't have a plan, you know, it just happens when it happens. Your prayer life is so erratic. It's pitiful. It's so bouncy up and down. It's inconsistent. And you feel it in your spirit. You feel it in your life. You feel the inconsistency, the bumps in the road, the big gaps between great prayer moments and other prayer moments. It has to be something that we strategically plan. The other thing is it has to be intentional. I mean, we have to make this a point of decision. That's what intentional means. I'm going to do this on purpose. I believe without a doubt the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is released through intentional prayer. Most of us like to pray the way we eat. When I get excited and I'm hungry, I want to devour. But how many times do you get hungry and want to devour the altar in prayer? See, you've got to do things intentionally with your spirit. Your body is trained that after a little time, you know, some hours, it's automatically going to get hungry. Guess what? Whether you know it or not, your spirit does the same thing. And your spirit, if we literally could take David Mewburn and say, this is the physical David Mewburn, here I am, you see it. If you could take my spirit out and put it over here, you would see how much I pray. You would see this person over here represented in a whole different form because it would be based on how much I pray. Now, would this just be a stick figure? Would it just be malnourished? I don't know. What would yours look like? I don't know. Would it look like it's been sick for weeks? Or does it look like it's pretty healthy? You see, we ought to understand there is a spiritual life and there's a physical life. And I'm going to tell you, intentional prayer will put you in a position to where both will be fed. And you will do an awful lot of things. Remember what we talked about in Peter, Acts the 12th chapter? Wasn't it cool? When he was over in prison, and I'm sure he was praying too, but there were people across town intentionally praying for Peter's release. What happened? And we discard this because it's just Bible stuff. No, an angel came and released him. Listen, why can't we have angels released again? We can. We can. Let me tell you one other thing. I brought my trusty bow and arrow in here. Aren't you scared? Yeah, buddy. Never trust a pastor with a weapon, even something like this, quite honestly. I am not even going to put them together because I'll be tempted to throw it or release it, whatever. But here's the deal. You've seen people with a bow and arrow, but without a target, it's worthless. Without a target, it's meaningless. Prayer isn't something we do because the pastor says, let's pray. I mean, I appreciate the fact that when we say, let's pray, you bow your head and we do that type of thing. But when it's your turn to prayer, and the bow and the arrow is put in your hand, if you don't have a target, then you know what? Prayer's not going to mean a whole lot to you. Prayer's not going to accomplish a whole lot because you don't have a target. So pick a target. In just a few minutes, when I invite you to pray, wherever you pray in here, pick a target, whatever it is, big or small. It can be personal. It can be something else. It can be like we prayed a minute ago about Easter, but just pick a target and begin to pray. The last thing is this, pray the ABCs. Everybody has an ABC, 1, 2, 3. This is just a way of just kind of putting the things together a little bit. First of all, you need to pray alone. You need to pray alone. If the only prayer you do is when it's corporate prayer, when Pastor John says, okay, youth, let's pray. All right, you know what? I have a lot of fun coming up here with the youth on Sunday mornings and praying. I don't know if they enjoy it or not. I've never asked them. I don't want their opinion. They may say, Pastor Dave, we really don't like doing this. I don't know. So I don't ask. But I enjoy it. You know what? It's become a part of my routine. And I really, really enjoy it. You see, the thing is that if that's the only time they pray, is when I lead in prayer and say, let's come up here and pray, then their prayer life is pretty shallow. Fine as well. There should be a lot of time that we pray alone. Listen, I'm not going to get into how you pray and what you pray and how long you pray and the position of prayer, where you have your prayer closet. Listen, those are all things that we need to work out with our Lord and Savior on a private basis. But there needs to be times, measurable, specific, intentional, strategic times where we pray alone. You know, it's pretty cool when you get opportunity to have an audience of one with somebody you really, really love and respect. How cool is it when you get to have the opportunity of an audience of one with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with the God of this universe who created all this, with the Holy Spirit who just loves to hear from you from time to time. That's a personal conversation. It's a personal time with prayer, and we do it alone. But also we need to do it with believers. Listen, we have things that are planned around here. On Tuesday nights, we have a prayer meeting from 7 o'clock to usually about 7:45. And listen, this week, if there's any way possible, I'm going to ask as many of you that can, just take a few minutes and show up on Tuesday night for the sake of Easter. This is a special time. If you can break away, I would love to see about 20 or 25 people. There's usually only about 4 or 5, maybe 10 at the most that are here. It would be awesome if just for 1 week we could rally the troops. I wonder what God is going to do if we do that. Well, listen, there again, I know how this has come across. Great. Pastor just put a guilt trip on me. I guess I better show up Tuesday. No, please, you can't let it be that. You cannot let it be that. But it's a strong encouragement. This one time, if there's any way you can break away from your schedule, come and just be a part of that. And let's see what God happens. Let's see what God happens. Pray together. We have that. We have some wonderful ladies who come up here and pray on Tuesdays at noon. All of our services, the times I have with our kids, intercessory prayer, all kinds of things. We need to pray with other believers. The last thing is community. And this is the way that I would instruct that. Intercessory prayer is prayer that we pray on the behalf of someone else. Intercessory prayer doesn't always have to have a name and a face. It can have a title. There's this great title called the community, and if you want to start reaching out beyond the personal prayers we pray for us because we feel this, we feel that, we have this problem, we have that problem, and you begin to pray with believers and start entertaining, you know, their circumstances, but you want to pray beyond that. It's called intercessory prayer. It's when I go to prayer and I pray not for myself, but I pray for other people. It's cool when you have a list, but you know what? God really loves it when there's people that you'll never meet, you don't know. They could walk into this place today and you would not know them, but did you pray for them by title? And the coolest place to start is the community. You know why? Because I don't know who they are, but I drive these streets just like you do, and there's people down every one of those streets. They live in these homes, and I don't know what's behind that front door, but God does. I don't know what they wake up to every day, but God does. I don't know what they come home to after work or after school every day, but God does. I don't know whether they're married, single, split, on the edge of a divorce, problems. I don't know if there's sickness in there. I don't know if they've just experienced a death, but God does. And God loves the opportunity when somebody opens the door of prayer for people that'll never meet. You know, Dave, that kind of sounds aimless. Aren't we getting back to the bow and arrow? Am I not just flinging an arrow out there? No, there's a title. And God knows how to direct that arrow once you sing it. Once you release it. Here's the difference between that. The other is, I'm just praying, but I don't have any purpose. This, I have a purpose, but I'm going to let God direct the arrow. Does that make sense to you? It's awesome how God can do that. I'm convinced that there's going to be people that are going to come this coming Sunday, and consequently beyond that, and they're going to be met because somebody prayed for them. We'll get back to what Dick Eastman said. God is going to do something today because somebody in the body of Christ prayed for that circumstance. So that's what I want us to do. You know, it's like the slide says, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. So I hope that we have done a good job of eliminating all the guilt associated with prayer. I hope we've done a good job of trying to make sure that this isn't about an inventory and that you're trying to figure out whether you're a good prayer or not prayer. Because you know what? I always want you to know that when you pray, God loves to hear you pray. You know, you've thought several times, probably not really with this comment, but you've thought this: I hope somebody's praying for me. I was at Troy State University. I hadn't been saved very long. I found myself so lonely one night. I mean, as good-looking as I am, and as strong and as handsome as I am, and with all the abilities that I have, I mean, why in the world would I be sitting in my dorm room just having a pity party? But I heard myself say this. I said it out loud. I said, God, I just hope somebody's praying for me. Because in that moment, I felt like all I had was four walls and Jesus. There's a lot of people out there like that. And you know what? Somehow God wants to link you up with them. And it's all through prayer. How cool is that? It's all through prayer. So the worship team's going to come back. And listen, like I said, we're not going to measure this in time. It's 5 till 7. And if you have got a turkey on the stove and you need to be home pretty soon or whatever, if you've got something in the crock pot, don't worry about leaving early. You know, if you want to get to Mazio's before they run out of thick crust, that's okay too. But I'm going to invite as many of you to participate in prayer tonight. Well, listen, this is just a personal thing. But you know what? I realize that some of you, and I'm being very, very honest, some of you, you just can't get on your knees, okay? It's just a physical impossibility. This isn't about posture. This is about participation. Can tonight, for just the next few minutes, can we have 100% participation in prayer? Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't it be cool if the next few minutes that we knew, just somewhere in the deep part of our spirit, that 100% of the people that are in this auditorium are going to be praying? That we're not going to just be watching. This isn't just waiting out the rest of the service, but that we're going to pray. And some of you, like me, you just love to be in the altar. So you're invited to come into the altar too. Sit, stand, come and kneel, whatever. We're going to give God this time. Amen? Let's pray.